Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we speak exclusively to One Nation leader Pauline Hanson about all her ideas and solutions re-getting this country back on track. That should kill about 45 seconds and then move over Eddie Murphy. We reveal the ugly details of Pete Smith's weekend sex scandal. Mick finds out why Tony Blair didn't want to move into number 10. And we'll find out if you've been busted a la Mrs. Blair, Eddie, or the topless Helmut Kohl. We'll play Radio Gladiators in a week two of Prize Dicks. And joining us live today, it's our old partner in crime, as they say in show business, Jane Kennedy. Yes, it's all coming at you like a rotten tomato, homing in on Pauline Hanson's scone.
I don't like it.
On Martin Malloy. No doubt with Don't Speak. Good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to another one, another week of Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who deliberately cultivates that Tony Blair's wife just woken up by a reporter's look. Mick Malloy.
It's mine.
Now, let's get straight to business because we're going to start off with a bit of serious stuff here. Let's pay a visit to the always serious Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner.
Thank you one and all, and welcome once again to Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner. Big hand for Gracie on the piano, playing it today from inside his bubble. Hey, put that out, Gracie. No, you shouldn't be smoking in there. Anyway, down to business. Well, One Nation party leader Pauline Hanson came under attack over the weekend from both the Treasurer and from protesters in Perth. We've got her on the line now. Pauline, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm not going away because I love this country, Australia, and I'm a very patriotic Australian, and I love Australia, and I won't be silenced.
Silenced from saying what?
From saying how much I love Australia. It just makes me so proud to be an Australian, representing mainstream Australia and the views of those Australians who want Australia to stay Australian here in Australia. See, Mick, your audience agree with my views and my ideas for a better Australia.
What exactly are those ideas, Miss Hanson?
They're Australian, that's what they are. Australian ideas for mainstream Australians. Not politically correct trendies, but real Australians who believe in Australia as much as I do. See, Mick, real Australians know what I'm saying.
But what are you saying, apart from keeping out Asians, cutting off all welfare to Aborigines and bringing back semi-automatic weapons? Can you name one single idea or policy you're offering the people of this country?
Australia, Mick. Australia, 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 Australia.
Hey, that sounds like fun. Australia, 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 Australia.
Oh, now, come on, Mick, you're just being politically correct.
But isn't that all you do? Front up to some town hall, packet full of bigots who got turned away from the midday show, crap on about how much you love Australia, pretend like you're going to start crying and distract everyone from the fact you don't have a single new idea?
Oh, that's a bit nasty, Mick, and I think you've lost your audience.
Oh, shit, I think you're right. Australia, 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 Australia. There, got him back.
Hey, I love Australia too. Australia, Australia, Australia.
Hang on, I think we're wearing them out. Oh. Miss Hanson, what is the One Nation policy on, say, the economy?
Australia's going down the drain.
Yes, but what is your solution?
Australia.
I see. What about health? What's your answer there?
Tell the Aborigines to get their dogs out of the kitchen. Australia.
The environment?
Please explain.
The, where we live.
What, Australia? See, you can't stop me, Mick. People believe in my ideas.
Well, we're almost out of time, Pauline. Can I ask, why did you pull out of McHappy Day over the weekend?
Oh, look, I just felt it wouldn't be appropriate.
Right.
I'm coming back next month when they do McRacist Day.
Pauline Hanson, thanks for your time.
I love this country, Mick. I do. Australia. I can't be stopped, Australia.
To Robert Palmer and UB40, I'll be your baby tonight here at Martin Malloy, the program that welcomes the dodgy impression with open arms. Mickey, the British elections, is there anything more to say?
Yeah, have you heard about this? In a break with tradition, newly elected British PM Tony Blair will not move into number 10 Downing Street,
what's going on?
Prime Minister's official residence. And the reason, well, with three children, Mr. Blair and his wife Cherie have decided number 10 is too small. So instead, the family will move into number 11 Downing Street, a much bigger home that is traditionally the residence of the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Right.
And don't think for a minute he isn't a tad pissed off. Looks like he's sleeping on the couch.
Oh, is he?
If he's lucky. Can you do that, can you, Tone? Yeah. If I decide one day my house is a bit small, can I just go knock on the neighbour's door and tell him to haul ass? Oi, open up, I got more kids than you. Move it, losers.
Number 11.
Your time is up. I mean, how much room do they want? Maggie and Dennis Thatcher used to live there quite comfortably, and you can't tell me they slept in the same bed. Mind you, from what I've heard, come bedtime, Maggie used to just hang upside down in the closet like a bat, so I suppose she wasn't taking up too much room. And judging by this photo, Tone, I'd say Cherie Blair may be doing exactly the same thing. Look at her answering the door at number 10. Have a look at that photo, T. Martin. The house may not be big enough for her and her children, but her hair is providing ample living space for an entire family of pigeons. She looks like she's wearing Paul Keating's hat made out of beaks. Even hardened Fleet Street photographers were seen running away from Downing Street like they'd seen a ghost.
There's no excuse for that. If you're not a radio announcer, there's no excuse for that, I say.
She's lucky she wasn't caught in the trackies.
Yeah.
And not since a drunk Dennis Thatcher opened the front door a few years back wearing nothing but a pair of yellow boggies and started hurling empty whiskey bottles at the waiting media has there been such a grisly find at the prominent address.
Yes.
So they're moving to number 11 because they need the extra space. Tony, are you buying it?
No, I don't know.
I'm not. You know what I heard? Apparently, John and Norma Major left number 10 looking like an absolute pigsty.
Did they?
Not suitable for squatters. Didn't even try to get their bond back. Listen to this. All the carpet had been ripped up. Some floorboards had been removed to start a fire in the living room.
Yeah.
Satanic messages had been scrawled across the hallway walls in pig's blood.
Yeah.
Five neutered nut bags were found upstairs in the Nike runners and purple shrouds. In the bathroom, you have to negotiate a path through John Major's discarded derps as if you were tippy-toeing through a minefield in Cambodia. As for the bogger itself, it must have got blocked some time ago because it's chock-a-block. Tony spent the whole morning jumping up and down on the lid like he was trying to close an overstuffed suitcase.
Oh, I know.
The heating's on the fritz. There's a couple of chalk outlines on the kitchen floor, which is roped off by police tape. And in the den, there's a huge paper mache volcano Norma Major spent 4 years developing like that deluded idiot in Close Encounters. And I think the final straw came was walking into the formal dining room to find a naked and still sulky John Major strung up like Richard Harris in A Man Called Horse. That was it.
Moving up here at Martin Malloy, Han Mick, there was some very sordid and unpleasant show business news, wasn't there, over the weekend?
I believe so.
Oh, I don't even know if we want to play this.
Go on.
Here we go. Well, there was shock and disbelief over the weekend when beloved Channel 9 voiceover man Peter Smith was arrested by undercover policemen after picking up a suspected transsexual prostitute.
Bring him through here, officer.
Pete, over here. Would you like to make any comment at this stage?
Yes, I would like to say something. Tonight on 9, a very special Water Rats. That's all I'm prepared to say at this stage.
Pete, would you like to punch out one of our photographers just to give us something for the 6 o'clock news?
Oh, all right.
Thanks, Pete, you're a gentleman.
All around Australia, people are asking why.
I want to know what's going on.
At Channel 9, several of Smith's high-profile colleagues were quick to condemn his actions.
Pete Smith is, has, and always was been a disturbed individual. At last year's 60 Minutes Christmas party, myself and a suitably horrified Jeff McMullen happened upon Smith and an unknown female companion completely nude and making graphic and enthusiastic misuse of a genuine copper art tummy trimmer. When we demanded an explanation, he replied, "I'm burning off these unsightly kilos and there's nothing to pay till the end of May."
Oh, geez, I tell you what, I wouldn't have pegged old Petey boy as the sort to get sprung with a tranny. I mean, sure, we've all heard the story about him and a couple of the Price is Right girls getting busted togs off inside the old barrel on Ernie and Denise. Of course, he didn't bat an eyelid on that occasion. He just looked straight down camera three and said, I'd like to thank my very good friends at Rentlow.
I like to call Pete Smith Channel 9's very own Warren Beatty. He's always on the job. I mean, everyone knows how he hits that big sail every weeknight. As he warned Glen Ridge, if the voiceover booth's rockin', don't bother knocking.
Meet with you now.
Darling, I'll be back with more in a moment.
Finally, at a press conference, Smith agrees to make a statement.
At approximately 11:45 last night, I departed the Sydney Opera House where I'd just performed the fifth encore for my new one-man show. Oh, all right. This is Martin Malloy. Thank you. Good night. Just two blocks from the theatre, I spotted what looked like a beautiful, if clearly intoxicated, woman in stilettos and a boob tube. Excuse me, Dal. Fancy a lift?
Thanks, Pete. Those bastards from the footy show must have got me pissed. Oh.
That's all it was. Look, here comes your so-called transsexual prostitute now.
Pete, you lying butt munch! You said these shoes went great with this lip gloss. Now the papers are describing me as a cheap tartan. Come f*** me, boots. Get off me, would ya?
Case dismissed.
Later that night...
Pete, that was fantastic.
And brought to you by Coca-Cola.
With lover, lover, going out to Pete Smith today here at Martin Malloy, and a special hello to Pete's wife.
Indeed.
All we can say is we're sorry.
Yep.
We're very sorry. Now, in the next hour of the show, Jane Kennedy is dropping by because it is, of course, Frontline tonight, 8 o'clock on the ABC. Prize Dix enters its second week.
Mm.
What did we have going on Friday? Oh, that's far too long ago for me to remember.
No comment.
But it was a big week of prize dicks, and I think the dicks are really going to have to come up with something special.
Absolutely.
To boot this into week two. Mm. And also, Radio Gladiators is coming up, and I'd like to just plug our Mother's Day spectacular.
Oh,
it happens every year here on Martin Malloy.
Surprisingly, on Mother's Day.
Yeah, well, yeah. Close to, because I think Mother's Day Sunday this year. Yeah. Well, it's always Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they just move that round like the Queen's birthday to suit themselves?
Everyone gets it except Victoria. They don't get Mother's Day unless it actually falls on a weekday, apparently.
Of course. Okay, well, we're going to be celebrating on Friday, and what we want you to do, as always, is start faxing us now with a message for your mum. We'll call her up.
A number where she's going to be.
Yeah, we need that.
Mm.
Yeah, you fax us, and we'll phone your mum and pass on the message, and we're going to phone as many as we can, and the entertaining ones, we'll put as many of those to air as we can. Yeah, remember we did it on Valentine's Day a couple of months back.
Indeed we did.
Okay, so fax us in with your Mother's Day message, and we'll endeavour to call your mum. I always have to point out we're not going to get to them all.
Mm.
But fax us here on whatever the fax number is. Is it still 1-800-816-679? Let's do all our segments this way. Sans can read the jokes.
That fax number again, Toddy. What was it? 1-800. We should have a separate line in case there's anything coming through from Toddy. I really do think so. I'd hate to clog up that line with Mother's Day faxes and miss out.
Exactly. This is the Mother's Day only line. 1-800-816-679 from anywhere in the country. And remember, it's free. What else is going on? I'd just like to say hello to Jenny Frenbow of Hope Valley, South Australia. Sent us a fantastic letter. You remember a little sketch you had on the ball called The First Offenders Shop?
Oh, yes, yes.
She was First Offenders Shop, and I think she's got some ideas there for a second one of those. I'll leave that with you.
Thank you very much.
And what else is in the news that we might have missed?
Look, sorry, I'm just reading that letter. I'm laughing already. This is an interesting story from today's paper. Actor Liam Neeson has been attacked as too heterosexual to play flamboyant gay author Oscar Wilde in a new movie. Have you heard about this?
No.
There's a new movie coming up. It's to mark the release of From Jail 100 years ago of Wilde.
Yeah.
But fans of the Dublin-born writer have attacked the casting of Neeson, who says he won't act in any gay sex scenes. Mr. Neeson is the wrong shape, the wrong size, the wrong age and the wrong everything, said a spokesman for the Oscar Wilde Society, who apparently was pretty keen on Mr. Humphreys. From Are You Being Served? Oscar Wilde just walks into a room, apparently, and goes, I'm free!
It's a very traditional telling.
You know who I would have gone with?
Who?
Danny DeVito. I don't know. It's just something about him, something he brings to the table, I think it'd be right. Who played King Ralph?
John Goodman. John Goodman is Oscar Wilde.
Let's not rule that out. What about Jackie Chan? Look, I think, you know, for the fight scene.
Hey, Oscar Wilde's first strike. Could be sensational watching.
What about Eddie Murphy? Oh, let's not get into that now. The Nutty Poet.
That needs a whole segment, I'm afraid. And the British elections, if in case you haven't heard, Tony Blair is the new Prime Minister of England because at the end of the day, he had the sillier voice and some fantastic details coming out, just little sidebars of behaviour on the election. What about the behaviour of prospective ministers who, before they can become a minister, have to kiss the Queen's hand?
Do they?
That's pretty simple. Mm. Hard to bugger that up.
Right.
Then you've got to back out of the room without looking behind you. Have you heard about this?
No.
This is something the Queen turns on just for a good old laugh every 4 years, I reckon.
Do you get the reversing signal like on a track?
That's only when Mel Colston signs in. Each MP had to kneel on a footstool before the Queen, go the snog, and then rise and leave the room wordlessly, just walking backwards, just like this. Make sure you don't hit anything.
What, moonwalking?
That's basically it. That's basically it. Wow. Do they have that here? Does the Queen come out here when we do that? I don't think she does, because I'd love to see Alexander Downer backing out of the room without bumping into something. In the shorts. Now, another fantastic detail, which I hadn't heard about.
Yeah.
During the campaign, the Labor Party had D Reams' Things Can Only Get Better as their theme song. Right. And they kept playing it all the time. During the campaign, the song's success had so worried the Tories, they asked the BBC not to play the song in the lead-up to the election.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Because I think, what did the Tories have as their theme? Oh, yeah.
This is Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy right around Australia, thanks to Coca-Cola and home of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Who's been busted? That's what we're talking about at Radio Gladiators today. There was a lot of bustings over the weekend. Everyone's talking about Eddie Murphy. And have you noticed how he hadn't even stepped out of the car at the police station when a publicist burst out of the wings and said, he does a lot of work with children. Oh, he does so much work with children. He gave $1,000 to a guy just an hour ago.
How was that? And how much did he give to the tranny?
Nothing. He didn't give anything.
And the great thing is that his story is kind of being ruined by other members of the transsexual prostitute's family.
Oh, really?
Have you noticed that? The Stars case was not helped by Saluli's 33-year-old cousin, who said, they have known each other for a while. Eddie's met everyone in our family. They must have all just been walking down to the newsagents as well.
Absolutely.
But anyway.
He must do a round, like a paper run, picking it up and dropping off members of the family.
And what I love is every article ends with Murphy's next film is the Family Fun Fest, Dr. Doolittle. But anyway, enough about Eddie.
He was busted.
What else? We've got, of course, Helmut Kohl. He's apparently been busted. What's going
on
there?
In a pretty magnificent photo. Busted poolside at Port Douglas Mirage, letting it all hang out. And that's a big photo with a big guy.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful men in the world, apparently. G7 member.
It sure is.
Ooh, with that expanding waistline going nuts. And I'm just thinking, I'm reading the paper today, all our senators, apparently $250,000 already spent this year going overseas. He's out here. I'm thinking, they're all on some kind of fatty boomsticks exchange program, aren't they? It's just big fat blokes going to other parts of the world, grossing out the population who won't be voting in their electorate, putting on the clothes and sneaking back home. That's what they do. Tell me. He wouldn't do that in his own country.
What is it again? It's a fatty boomsticks exchange program. I thought it was.
That's what it is.
Who else has been busted over the weekend? Everyone's talking about Tony Blair's wife, and of course it's a bit unfair. Mm. They've knocked on the door. Here's how it's described in the paper. The problem was her hair. It looked as though a family of crows had taken up residence. What is it, 4 a.m? After a pretty big night, I would have thought.
You know what I thought when I first looked at that picture? Yeah. I thought Yahoo Serious had stayed the night. Number 10 Downing Street.
Well, man, they're getting there. I reckon they should go around and wake up the editor of The Sun at 4 a.m, see what he looks like.
Absolutely.
Helmet Cole, I'm guessing. What about Molly Meldrum? I'm not saying he's been busted, but of course he was one of the many celebrities who was sucked into the Crown Casino in Melbourne over the weekend, and I have to hand it to the Herald Sun in Melbourne. They've come up with a fantastic caption. I'm calling it Caption of the Year.
Good.
Molly Meldrum at Heat Nightclub, part of the new Crown Complex in Melbourne. He's having a big night, let's put it that way. The line under the photo, full of praise. Molly Meldrum is full of praise for the casino.
Praise Scotch malt whiskey. 12 years.
He's praising like there's no tomorrow. He's been. It's a big praise up.
Absolutely.
Down. And who else has been? Have you been? But let's talk about ourselves. Have we been busted?
All right. I'll get into the swing of things. I was busted on the weekend, but I've got to explain myself. All right.
Right.
It was Sunday. It was the afternoon.
Yes.
I was feeling a bit under the weather. I was a bit, it must be something in the air. It's pollen. I was a bit hay feverish. I had very red eyes and I was a bit nasally. Mm-hmm. So I was on my couch with the doona and a box of tissues, right, just sitting there, not feeling that great. And a couple of my mates were coming around.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've fallen asleep. I've woken up, the door's knocking, I've said, come in. And as they've come in, they've sat down, they've seen me sitting down with a doona, a box of tissues, red-eyed, and on the telly is the Joy Luck Club. A film about three generations of Chinese women living in America, a.k.a. chick flick, and I am looking a mess, and they have given it to me both barrels. And I'm going, no, look, hey, people, I was watching, I fell asleep. Nothing I could say.
I was watching Beaches on Foxtel. It's nothing to do with the Joy Luck Club.
Oh, no. Oh, you do like a good chick flick. Oh,
don't you start. I had nothing. It was an F-ball to sleep.
I came round and caught you on the blub during how to make an American quilt.
Oh, don't stop it. You said you'd never mention that.
I've busted Channel 10 this morning.
You have?
I was watching Channel 10 News, and as you know, Shine is finally coming out in England. Everything's happening, you know, everything that happened in America and here over Shine, to do with Shine, is now happening in England. So you're seeing all the same stories, but with a British accent.
Yeah.
Now, Geoffrey Rush won the Best Actor Oscar, did he not?
That's correct.
That's pretty high profile.
You'd think so.
I think if you said the name Geoffrey Rush to someone in the street, they'd probably know who you were talking about.
Sure.
Have a listen to this report on Channel 10 this morning.
But some, like Health God's sister, have called the film a travesty. Actor Godfrey Rush won an Oscar in his portrayal of the adult Health God.
Godfrey Rush? But anything sounds right in an English accent, doesn't it? Actor Godfrey Rush. And the Channel 10 bloke didn't even bother to correct it. He's just assuming, oh, good on you, Godfrey. Have one for me, Godfrey. But I think it's time for the listeners to call us up. Tell us how you've been busted.
Yep.
Have you been caught in a shonky photo?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been caught in a compromising situation? Have you been caught down the casino having had one too many?
Mm-hmm.
Call us up. Tell us how you've been busted. Do we have a prize? Yes, listen to this. The team at Sanyo just keep the prizes coming. It's a family-sized automatic bread maker. With 10, that's right, 10 bread settings and the pasta dough setting.
That's why Chancellor Cole's in the country. He's on for one of those.
He's come out here for a Sanyo bread maker. That'll be yours. Plus, we're throwing in the Sanyo Tabura, the totally hands-free cordless phone. That's right, it's hands-free, unlike Eddie Murphy. Call us now, 1-800-816. No, that's our fax number. Don't call us on that number. All you'll hear is... Call us now, 1-800-657-657. Ouch, that's Entrance with Staying Alive here at Martin Malloy.
Actor Godfrey Rush won an Oscar for his portrayal of the adult health god.
You know actor Godfrey Rush.
You know why they're confused? They're thinking of the time Geoffrey Rush did that Godfrey's commercial. You know where he's picking up the bowling ball with a vacuum cleaner?
I know he's a good actor, but do you think he could play that guy in the film when they finally do it?
Tony's a chameleon.
Oh, look. That's the best comb-over in show business, that one.
He's a commish.
We're trying to find out who's been busted on Radio Gladiators today and for what. Eddie Murphy style, Helmut Kohl style, Tony Blair's wife style. Who's going first?
Let's try Scotty. Are you there, Scott?
Yep, how you going, Phil?
Not too bad, bud. What'd you get busted doing?
Oh, well, I was right into Star Wars when I was a kid, about 14 years old.
Right. Yes.
And I thought I was alone in the lounge room and I was watching Star Wars. I had my bright yellow jammies on and looked like, a bit like the X-Wing pilot uniform.
Oh, okay.
And I had a tennis racket in my helmet.
And what, who busted you?
Oh, well, I was sitting there getting right into it, sitting in the beanbag, thinking I was flying an X-Wing. And Mum and Dad jumped round the corner with a camera and got me on film.
Yeah. Wow. Now, if they could remaster that film again with all the X-Wing pilots in beanbags wearing, you know, tennis racket covers, that would be fantastic. That would get me going.
George Lucas is kicking himself. He's thinking, why'd I go to so much trouble? I just got to whop a tennis racket cover on my head and plonk the buns in a beanbag, away we go.
And the Imperial forces could be in Jason recliners with that deadly three-position firepower. All right, thanks, Scott. You've been busted, but has Sam... Are you there, Sam?
Yes, I am.
What's happened?
Well, I was at a nightclub once, and one of my male friends came out of the loo, and his zipper was stuck in the overlapping part, at the bottom.
Yes, yes.
And I tried to get it out with my fingers, but my nails weren't long enough, so I got down on my hands and knees and tried to do it with my teeth.
Right, and then what happened? The vicar came in?
No, my fiancé came out of the loo.
Oh, dear.
And he would have seen the funny side immediately, of course, wouldn't he?
Not really.
And what did you? How did you explain yourself? I mean, was there much confusion reigning at that point?
Well, it took a while. It took the rest of the night to try and convince him.
Yeah, it's going to take the rest of the program to convince me, I'm afraid. Thanks very much, Sam. We've got Peter on the line next to you there, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad. You been busted?
Yep. My room was so dirty, you couldn't even see the floor.
Oh.
It was starting to grow, I think.
Yeah, and who busted you?
My mum.
Oh, she came in. How long was it since she last dared to step into the room?
Oh, I don't know. Right.
And did she make you clean it up?
Yep.
How long did that take?
Oh, about 2 hours.
That's not a dirty room, my friend.
No, that's
that is nothing.
You're down the shallow end, I'm afraid, there, Peter.
It's an archaeological dig round at my place.
You must try harder. Good on you, though. I think Brendan is going next, and Brendan has been busted. You there, Brendan?
Yeah, Mick.
What's happened?
Mate, it was in 1989. I want to paint a picture first. I'm not the fittest looking fella.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll just call you Helmet.
Mate, I'm in a motel room in London. Yep. My wife's in the shower. I'm a bit bored. I'm lying there in the jocks on the bed.
Yeah.
Listen to Like a Prayer from Madonna on the Walkman. Bad enough.
You've painted enough of a picture there, Brendan.
Mate, decided I'd better get up and have a dance around the room.
Yeah.
Getting into Madonna. Yeah. My wife comes out of the shower and she says, who are all those people next door looking at you? And I look over and there's two floors of office workers there.
I'm sick of that sight. I can tell
you. Ringing up the radio station making requests.
Well, that's a beauty, Brendan. Are you still married?
Yes.
Oh, it's good to see it survived that.
Indeed.
Okay. Thanks, Brendan. It's Rosie going next. You there, Rosie?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Not bad. Where are you calling us from?
On a mobile, but I'm stopped on the side of the road.
Oh, very responsible. What have you been busted for?
Well, it was a nice warm night, and my boyfriend and I were feeling a little bit itchy, so we thought, well, we'll go for it. You know, he took me down to this nice dark alley, said, nobody ever goes there, nobody, we'll be fine. On the side of the road, we're going for it on this towel, all of a sudden, lights. And I jumped up like crazy, ran in the car, he wraps himself around with the towel, sure enough, it's the police. I'm gone.
Well, like our previous caller, you've painted a picture.
I'm glad to say it was a nice dark alley. He said, I know a nice dark alley. Because, you know, so many of them are a bit cheap.
Yeah, I know. when you're going for it, you want a nice alley. And what did the police say?
Well, they just said have a good night and called him a lucky bastard and kept going.
Mind you, they said the same when they burst in on that bloke in his jocks listening to Madonna, so,
you lucky bastard. And when was this, Rosie, just recently?
Oh, no, it was about a year ago now.
Oh, and how's the relationship progressing?
Oh, it's going well, actually. He doesn't take me to dark alleys anymore, though.
Right, so you've progressed to a nicer kind of alley.
No, well, obviously the romance has gone out of the situation.
We have to hide in his room now.
Okay, well, I'm sure he is a lucky bastard. I think we've got time for one final caller. Who's it going to be?
Let's try Rebecca. Are you there, Rebecca?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
That's away. What you got in the way of, a curly story for us?
No, well, when I was about 4 months ago, I started going out with this guy, and we had a habit of making late nights, and I was coming home at about 7 o'clock one time.
You're from an alley at all?
No alleys.
Okay.
And climbing through the window, because I lived at home with my four sisters and two parents, and everybody hears you when you come in the house, and walking through the window, and she says, "Hello, Mum, why are you coming through the window?"
And how old is the daughter?
Five.
Five.
And then she proceeded to tell my mother later on in the afternoon.
And what was your explanation on the spot, though, Rebecca?
Oh, I left my keys in the car.
Oh, that's always a beauty.
I couldn't get through the cat flap, you know, I've had to come through the window. Go to bed now, young lady.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a beauty.
It is indeed.
And there's an excuse we can all use. You know, if Eddie Murphy had tried that one, exactly. I don't know, he might not be in the position he is today. But is it our winner? We've got Scott with the Star Wars scenario, Sam with the fly story. We've got Peter with the dirty room, Brendan with the dancing and the jocks, Rosie down the alley. I think you remember, and Rebecca busted by the daughter.
Don, I think we're going to go right back up to the top to Scotty.
Oh, yes.
He was busted well and truly.
Yes.
In his hat, in his tennis cover hat.
And Scotty, you're celebrating. Have you got the tennis cover on?
Oh, I can't find it, mate. I've got to get my socks out and put them on.
Oh, well, you've got yourself a bread maker. See if that fits on your head. You look just like Darth Vader.
He's got to trail it around the room like R2-D2.
And, of course, the hands-free phone, just like the ones on the Death Star.
Thanks
for taking part. It's all courtesy of our friends at Sanyo, and we'll be back in the next hour with Jane Kennedy. And in this hour, another visit to Martin Molloy's House of Abomination. We'll kick off week two of Prize Dicks, and next up, Jane Kennedy is back, all thanks to Coca-Cola. Gin Blossoms here at Martin Molloy. It's the second hour, and really, everyone's been busted so far on the program. Let's rope in somebody else. Our guest today, she's never been sprung by reporters at the front door, Tony Blair's wife style, wearing a tennis racket cover on her head or dancing in the Derps to the Chicken Song. But I think we know the credits by now. Frontline, blah, blah, the castle, blah, blah, Brooke Vandenberg, blah, blah. It's Jane Kennedy. Jane, thanks for coming in.
That's a pleasure, Tony.
Sorry,
Mickey.
About the blah, blah.
I'm good. Oh, no. Oh, hell. It's a pleasure to hear.
I'm turning into Michael Aspel or somebody. Now, have you been busted of late?
Well, it actually wasn't of late, but it's something I've wanted to get off my chest for many years because I fear something will surface.
Okay, could be an Ellen DeGeneres moment. Open the closet. Here she comes. Hit us with it.
Okay. The drum roll will probably, you'll have to loop it because it goes for quite a while.
We can. Okay. I'm enjoying it. Just till we get the sheds, keep it in there.
Okay. Right? When I left school, some girlfriends and I went up to Coffs Harbour.
Yeah.
That's not the busted bit, though.
Okay.
For a girly holiday.
Oh, yeah.
And I managed to get completely off my face drunk.
Well done.
And started dancing to Physical by Olivia Newton-John. And then decided to strip.
Right.
And then got shaving cream and put it on my Norgs with the shaving cream with a fan. And cameras were being snapped at the time.
Right.
Then they girls sat me down at the table and they said, "Jane, tell us what you do with your boyfriend." So I did, and they tape recorded it. And then I put a bucket on my head and I danced like Devo. And to this day, I'm very concerned. They told me that they'd burned all the photos and the tape recording, but they're lurking out there somewhere.
Okay, well, that's. Do we have a prize pack?
No, but we do have the actual recording here, and Gracie.
Yikes. Actually, the cassette that it was recorded on was a girlfriend of my peers, and she took it home with her.
That guy's saying the name.
No, sorry.
The guys at People magazine. What was that? Somebody pee somebody. Shaving cream. There's a celebrity skip. Ready to go. Right, what is it? There's a tape as well now.
No, she took the tape home and her sister said, "Oh, have you got that Diana Ross and the Supremes tape?" And she said, "Yeah, it's just over there." She took the wrong one. Oops. Anyway, so I believe that's destroyed as well.
Yeah, right.
And anything you can divulge, more than so than you have.
No, I tell you though, I told this, I was actually with my girlfriends again yesterday. It was sort of a 15-year school reunion. We all got together. And
right, and what made it onto the tape this time?
Well, it wasn't on tape, but I've been having these weird lesbian dreams lately.
Hang on, get the closet out again, Gracie. Here we go.
And it was...
Out you come.
Come on. Hit us with it.
It's guaranteed publicity.
Who's involved? Paint the picture,
no,
Jane.
I can't say because the girls are going, who is it? And I said, and they're going, is she in this room? And I said, no. So, and I can't tell you who it is.
Is it someone in the Woman's Day this week?
Oh, it could be. It could be that chick from Friends because she's looking pretty spunky in the nude this week.
Well, as you said that, I was looking at a picture of our education minister.
Oh, no.
Far too hideous.
Speaking of these magazines, Jane, I mean, I know you occasionally turn up in the back pages, you know, with a caption underneath.
TV funny girl.
Have you been busted in one of those kind of photographic scenarios?
I don't know if it's actually made it to print, but it was only about a week ago and I was at a function and I found myself amongst the glitterati of the triumvirate of Totti Goldsmith and Julia Morris and Lisa Hensley. And you know, in this picture, but I was sort of not concentrating on posing very well. So I was kind of looking up into the other direction the end of the shot. And the photographer kept saying, Jane, you're not into this photo. Come on. You're not looking like you want to be here.
You're not pulling a stupid face. Come on, Jane.
I wasn't sticking out my Norgs and pulling a face.
And obviously you're in tough company there. I mean, they're veterans.
They're
that
lovely
kind
girls,
of
actually. And I actually saw Totti on Saturday night. She told me that she had photocopied her bosoms for you.
Oh, so it's been confirmed.
It's been confirmed. And they are Totti's. Tits.
Would you like to see them, Jane? I think I've got them in my wallet.
That's a gutsy effort, I reckon. She said, do you think the boys would have liked it? And I said, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Mick
they would
Malloy,
have been thrilled.
Mick's returned the favour, and I hope she's talking about it on whatever program she does. Well, I think this segment has opened up enough canned worms today. Do you want to stick around and talk about your TV show?
Oh, okay, thanks.
That'll be next on this program.
What is
love? Asking the musical question, what is love? It's Martin Malloy. Jane Kennedy's with us. There's been one segment already. Mm. I don't think we've got time to go through what was discussed.
If you're tuning in now, you've missed the gold, people.
Now let's get to Frontline. What's happening? I've had a look at tonight's episode. I'm declaring it may be the best one yet, certainly in terms of acting.
I would have to agree with you as best and the ugliest, I have to say. Mike Moore outdoes himself in this episode. And it's nice because it focuses on Jeff the weatherman, Jeffrey Salter. And Jeffrey Salter's profile is somewhat lifted and Mike can't cope. And it's very nasty.
And what is he getting at? What, we're having a closer look than we've ever had before at Jeffrey Salter.
Yeah, Jeffrey Salter gets his special, Has the Weather Gone Crazy? And it starts off in a local time slot and then it goes national. Right. And the ratings go through the roof and his profile lifts at the same time. And he gets on the A-list.
Oh, look out.
So he gets to go to lots of functions.
He's not getting the togs off of Black and White magazine, is he? He hasn't gone that far.
I hope not, no. I don't think that's involved.
Is that special? Has the Weather Gone Crazy? Is that based on a real special? Because
I believe there was one. Rob Gell, who's a weatherman in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. He's more than just a weatherman.
I think his was called Has the Weather Gone Mad?
Oh.
And we've been extremely creative and just, you know.
You put a spin on it.
We have put a spin on it.
Yeah. One of my favourite specials, and we've talked about this before, was, do you remember a newsreader? I think he was from Brisbane. Certainly our Brisbane listeners would know him, Glenn Taylor.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And
yes.
He moved down to Melbourne rather unsuccessfully. He'd only been there about 2 days and already he was being photographed in a St Kilda footy scarf.
Looking very uncomfortable and awkward in it.
I'm an adopted St Kilda supporter.
Go Saints.
No, I remember he ended the news 1 week in Melbourne with, and have a good weekend, and a special personal note from me, come on the Saints. He just threw that in. And he disappeared. No one saw him for ages. And then at 4 o'clock one afternoon, I think on Channel 10, I turned on the telly and there he was hosting a documentary called Australia, A Nation of Sand.
Now,
and he's standing there on the beach and he's sort of kneeling, you know, George Neger style, letting some sand just run through his fingers for about 5 seconds. He looked to the camera and he's gone, Australia really is a nation of sand.
Look, I think Jeff Salter would be salivating at this stage to hear something like that.
Exactly. It was sensational. Mm. And I know we're coming up, is it the final episode next week or the week after?
The week after, coming up. And in that one, we've got some special guests there. Very special guests involved.
You know what we're asking, Jane. What's going to happen in the ending? How's it all going to end?
It's quite, in fact, I really don't want to give away anything.
Right.
I don't want to give away a thing, but it's quite dramatic, I have to say. Okay. All I will say at this moment, as we speak, Mike Moore is up in an Aboriginal settlement north of Cairns.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, we've got listeners in Cairns.
You should check him out. Say good day to Mike Moore. He's up there at the moment. God help you all.
Running amok.
Is he anywhere near Mount Malloy, do we know?
No.
Up in northern Queensland.
He better not go anywhere near that.
Exactly.
Well, I've had the snipers alerted. All right. Gracie, do we want to go straight to the segment? Jane, do you want to take part in a very special little event we have every weekday here on the program?
You know I do.
Pete?
It's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've been pantsed by your own three-year-old at the supermarket. Perhaps you've been sprung singing along to Total Eclipse of the Heart at the traffic lights. Or maybe you've just been busted giving a transsexual prostitute a lift home, if you know what I mean. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process. The Lost World is the new movie from Steven Spielberg and the sequel to the most successful film of all time, Jurassic Park.
Wow.
Every prize dick takes home a Lost World prize pack and goes into the draw for a trip for two to Hong Kong to attend the world premiere of The Lost World. Okay, lads, bring forth the dicks.
We'd be happy to, Pete. And I haven't pointed this out yet. I don't know if Australians are aware of this. It's National No Diet Day tomorrow. Oh,
thank God for that.
I know there's a view that perhaps people are dieting too much. Can you believe that, Jane?
No, you can never diet enough as far as I'm concerned.
Well, tomorrow you've got to put it down and go for the burgers. It's National No Diet Day. And isn't it great? It's on the same day that Mel Colston has to decide whether he's going to stay in the Senate.
That's poignant.
Isn't that a wonderful coincidence? There's a story in the paper today. I don't know if it's true. Mel Colston has been in so much trouble lately, he turned to advisor to the stars, Harry M. Miller, for help. Harry confirmed to us that he wasn't interested in taking on the Colston family as clients, the whole family. So he politely packed them off. But what advice was Harry prepared to offer Mel free of charge? Here's a great quote from Harry M. Miller to Mel Colston. Shut up, keep your head down, give the flags back and get out of politics. Isn't that a sensational bit of advice?
Harry M. Miller. Yeah. He's approaching Harry M. Miller. He must be sniffing the bucks. And Harry didn't have anything for him.
No.
For sure he could mount another production of Jesus Christ Superstar, something with Mel in the lead.
Surely he could get him involved in some Mexican wrestling somewhere in the world. Pull some strings.
Absolutely.
This segment is Prize Dicks, if I remember, and
got anything left in the tank, Jane?
Oh, please. I've done enough. Yeah. I've done enough
today.
You've
covered yourself in glory today.
I'm just looking through, you know, because you can usually rely on the New Weekly or the Woman's Day to supply you with celebrities making dicks themselves. But check this out. There's a photo of Tom Hanks.
Yep.
He's at a tennis match, I think. He's just looking around.
Right.
He hasn't got a big cheesy grin on his face. He's just looking like normal old Tom Hanks.
Right, so what's the problem?
The headline, maybe Tom Hanks's next movie should be called Forrest Grump.
Give me a look.
That's pretty savage, isn't it?
Oh, he's asking for it.
Look at him. They've turned on him. I thought they liked him.
No, good, mate.
Isn't he one of the nice guys of
there
the business?
You go. Was.
Who else is in here? What's the story you were telling us about, Jane? Your chance to come out of the closet thanks to the New Weekly.
Yes, the New Weekly have a competition here, and it says an open invitation. It's written in really fancy writing, like a wedding invitation, it looks like. And it says, open invitation, come out with us. ... fill in the celebrity's name here.
Right.
Calling all Australian celebrities, we don't care if you play a tough cop on TV or a sexy leading lady on film. If you're gay and still in the closet, we'll help you out.
Wow.
So there you go, calling all celebs, call New Weekly. I'm sure they'll do it tastefully.
Because it's written in nice lettering.
Exactly.
And you're...
people will answer that because I'll just assume it's an invitation to some kind of highfalutin celebrity. You're going, yes, please, put their names down.
Exactly. I love they're giving you a clue. It says, a tough cop. Who are we thinking? Lucky Grills? Is that a direct reference to Lucky? This has got nothing to do with prize dicks, but we still have a prize. It's a Lost World pack, and of course you're going into the draw for that trip for two to Hong Kong. Has it been reclassified Hong Kong yet? I don't think it has. No. The New World for the premiere of The Lost World. Hang out with Steven Spielberg, all that kind of bizzo, and go to the party afterwards.
You don't have that music behind that.
Oh. Somebody will be sacked over that.
Caught with their pants down.
Is Pauline Hanson using that in her stage spectaculars? I'm sure she is at some point. And we just want to hear how you made a dick of yourself. It's as simple as that. Call us now from anywhere in the country. Remember, it's free, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
That unnecessary Din tells us it's time to meet the prize dicks here at Martin Molloy. Jane Kennedy is judging today.
And I think I'm a prize dick today.
We've already met Jane.
Yep.
That's right, but she's ineligible. Who's going to be in the dip today, Mick Molloy?
Well, let's look in Conrad's direction. Are you there, Conrad?
Yeah, g'day. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Tell us about you, though. That's what we're interested in. How?
Yep.
How have you made a dick of yourself lately?
All right. I went into a McDonald's with my mates.
Yep.
And, you know, I was going to be a bit of a smart ass, so I had all these 5-cent pieces, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll buy a Big Mac meal with all 5-cent pieces.
Yeah.
You know, make glad you have to count them.
Mm.
I've gone up, paid, and she's counted through them. And, you know, all my mates are snickering behind me, and then she goes, oh, you're 5 cents short.
Oh, foiled!
So what did you do?
Oh, I didn't have any money on me, so I've turned my mate and... One mate, he said, oh, no, I can't borrow any more money. Then the other started to give off another mate.
And so did it have a happy ending?
Yeah, I got the money eventually, but a few of the people in the line weren't too happy.
Was it McHappy Day?
No, it wasn't McHappy Day, actually.
Oh, yeah, see, they'd have to grin and bear it if it was McHappy Day.
Exactly.
You should do what I do, and that's start bartering. You go, all right, well, how much without the pickles then? And you just keep, you know, jettisoning stuff until you've got enough money to pay for it.
I'll try that.
Okay, see, we're offering helpful advice as well as making fun of the unfortunate. Thank you, Conrad. Are you there, Tamara?
Yes, I am. How are you going, boys?
Not bad. Are you a prize dick?
I am. I'm queen of dicks, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was 6 months pregnant and just sitting around the home in the nighty, as you would,
mm-hmm.
and decided that I need to go down the shop for something. I can't remember what it was for.
Right.
So I just threw on a dress and went down to the local very busy shopping centre.
Right.
And after about 15 minutes of walking through, an old lady came up to me and said that she was sorry to tell me this, but my dress wasn't down at the back.
Yeah.
And as I turned around and felt my dress was all twisted around my bra strap, and you could see my bum because I had a G-string on.
Oh, dear. Combination of factors there. I saw Nikki Buckley do the same thing the other night on Sale of the Century.
Swishing around the gift shop and nobody would tell her.
And they were putting in big bids, though.
Tomorrow, the cellulite kind of kicks in about 6 months, doesn't it?
You're not wrong.
Okay, so you were caught a bit Mrs. Blair down the shopping centre. Thanks very much, Tamara. I think Christine has got a tale of woe, as we say. You there, Christine?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Not bad. Are you challenging Tamara for the title of Queen of Dicks?
Well, I am. I hope so.
Yeah, what have you done?
Well, years ago, I used to play competition tennis in the afternoons.
Mm.
And I was playing with my partner, just my team partner, that is.
Yes.
A bloke.
Right.
And I went for a ball and I accidentally let one go.
Oh, let one go.
Yeah.
You farted.
I farted.
Oh, my God.
Did the umpire call it?
But the thing was, that I pretended that it was my shoe, you see.
Oh, yeah, those Air Nikes.
That's right. So for the rest of the match, I kept scraping my shoe and looking down. Oh, my goodness.
You know what you should have told them? You should have said it was the new Cyclops. Machine. You know, it's like it measures when the ball's in or out.
It was out! It was definitely out!
That is a big call, Christine, because girls don't fart.
No, that's right, no.
No, we all know that.
I've never heard a central umpire go Vince before.
And who's that female tennis player that does all the grunting? Who's that? Is that what she's up to?
Monica Sellers.
Monica, yeah.
Is she covering
for it? I've done one of those.
Bet you she is, all these years, we never knew.
At the end of the match, you know, she doesn't shake hands with the opponent. She goes up to the net and gets them to pull her finger.
All right.
Didn't you know that?
Are we all done? Okay, let's move on to Karen, who could well be our Queen of Dicks. Are you there, Karen?
Yes, I am.
What have you done?
Well, my first car was a Mini Miner, and I used to think that I could fix it fairly well, you know, like any fool can fix a Mini Miner.
Right.
And one day I had a leak in the fuel line from the tank to the motor,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, I'll go fix this, but I'd forgotten that I'd shaved my armpits the morning before.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I go down to the garage, and I said to the garage man, can I put my car up on your hoist and fix the fuel line? And he said, yeah, fine, that's fine. And the fuel started to run down my arm, and when it got to my underarm, it was like they had caught fire.
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. And I'm running around going, oh, my God, and swearing my head off, and he come out and he says, are you all right, love? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. And when he went back inside, I ran to the toilet and was flushing all this water underneath there and trying to get it off.
I'm fine, thank you. As you run from the garage, E.T. style. style.
Yeah, with my underarms on fire, and I had to find some water, and then I said, I've stuffed this, I'll get someone else to fix it.
Well, there you go, Karen. You're a mad woman for trying to fix a car yourself.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there's a lesson for many minor owners, but is it our winning dink? Jane, you've got to choose. We've got Conrad with the coin scam, Tamara with the G-string down the shopping centre, Christine with the tennis action, and of course Karen down the garage. It's a tough one.
It is a toughie, but brave Christine admitted she farted, so we have to give it to her.
Yes. Jane's obviously a regular listener. She's gone for Christine. You there, Christine? It's all been worth it. You've
got us women stick together.
We do. Chicks rule.
And I've had a few of those drinks too.
Maybe we could organise a meeting after the show.
I'm getting all hot and sweaty.
Well, we'll get you both back for tomorrow's segment. And you've gone into the draw for that. Kong. And as, remember, as we're saying to all the contestants, if you do win, if you come out of the barrel, we are expecting you to go up to Steven Spielberg at the world premiere of The Lost World and tell him why you're there.
Right.
And then pants him.
All right. Thanks for taking part.
Okay.
And thanks, Jane, for coming in today.
Thank you for having me, gents.
And when's Frontline on?
Tonight, ABC, 8 p.m.
Indeed. It's much better than whatever there. What's Tonya Todd up today?
And that chick in the city. Drop her.
And congratulations on the car. Still packing them in.
Thank you very much, you dude.
Paunchy little tosspot would have still paid us handsomely. And what about Andrew Lloyd Webber? When he came to us and suggested he wouldn't mind looking like a bit of a dick whacker, we thought he might like to try on some Manchester United footy gear. And the balmy little garden gnome fell for it. He just couldn't wait to run home and chew the ear off his own wine collection, taking great pains to tell each individual bottle of overpriced plonk what a total jerk he looked like in our fiendish ensemble. All this month at the House of Abomination, we've slashed the prices on all our derps from the Duchovny collection. They're just like any other pair of tight-fitting underderps, except ours come with a fully functioning and accessorized Mr. Potato Head stuffed down the front. I'm wearing a pair right now. Check them out, girls. I'm not one to blow my own trumpet, but this is one pair of lolly bags that should come with a hood ornament.
Hey, girls, check me out in my brand new Duchovnys.
Mick, the Mr. Potato Head goes down the front, not the back.
Sorry.
And you will be too once you've popped in and tried on some of the ludicrous garb we're sitting on down here at the House of Abomination. The fashion house for the less than discerning shopper who doesn't mind people going the point and snigger whenever they walk into a crowded room. The House of Abomination. Come on, we'll get you looking like a giant goog.
How's that, Pete?
Mick, I told you to take the Mr. Potato Head out of the back of your pants.
But I have.
Then what the hell is... Oh, Mick, that's disgusting.
Pretty much winding up today's round of Martin Malloy. A big thank you to all our prize decks today who acquitted themselves beautifully. And just before we go, we did make a promise on the show last week. As we know, Pete Smith has been sacked by Ernie Sigley from his Melbourne radio program. Another bloke went into bat and met the same fate, and we said we'd have him on the show to plug his program in Melbourne tonight. It's going out in Melbourne this evening and I think in other states a bit later on.
Yep.
He has to, of course, agree to let us sack him during the course of this little segment. Are you there, Frankie J. Holden?
G'day, Mick and Tony. Firstly, just a couple of corrections.
Yeah.
The show is called IMT.
Oh, no!
And it does go, it goes nationally live everywhere except Sydney and Brisbane, where it is on after the footy at about 11:30 at night.
Gee, well...
But apart from that, it was a marvellous introduction.
Mind you, that's more accurate than most things that are said on this program, so...
I do have a bit of a listen.
At least we've got the night correct.
Indeed.
All right, go for a run, Frankie. What are people going to see this evening?
Well, as usual, mate, we've got a huge show for you. Now, incidentally, it's 40 years ago, or will be 40 years to the night, tomorrow night, when IMT first was launched onto the screens way back in 1977.
Were you hosting at that stage, Frankie?
Huh?
Were you hosting at that stage?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't actually hosting. I was just a glint in my mother's eye at that stage.
Okay.
And in honour of that fact, we've got one of the venerable hosts of the show, Stuart Wagstaff, is coming down to have a chat and a bit of a reminisce.
Wow.
We've also got on the lead singer of Hot Chocolate, a guy called Errol Brown.
Oh, really? Where'd you find him?
He's coming out to appear in the Odeon Room at the casino, or the Crown Complex down here.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And also one of us, a great singer-songwriter, Australian singer-songwriter called Troy Cassadaly's on. And Danny McMaster is coming on to do some impressions.
Hang on, how do we know we're not talking to Danny McMaster right now?
Well, you've got no idea, do you? Absolutely no idea.
And what about Stuart Wagstaff? What's he like when he gets a few in? Will he be trouble, Madonna-style, on the show tonight, do you think?
Well, I don't know, but Stuart is apparently, I think he's 72 years old, and you know that thin veneer of urbane sophistication that he's carried around his whole career. I'm just going to chip away at that tonight and see if we can get through to the core of Stuart Wagstaff.
You'll see Stuart Wagstaff and Pete Smith squabbling over a bow tie at some stage this evening.
Exactly.
And obviously, Frankie, we'd like to thank you for going into bat for Pete.
Mm-hmm. And, well, it was the least I could do, boys.
And what was the name? Who was the bloke whose show you were on when that happened?
Was it Sinkley?
Yeah.
You're sacked, Frankie J! We never want to see you on this show again! How dare you mention that name, Frankie J. Holmes! You have no place being here!
You're finished in this business!
Please don't!
No, mate, no, you've gone too far!
You don't understand. It's all right for me, I can take it, but when kids at school are having a go at my kids, you know, I've got my kids out doing a milk run now, and I can't take it.
Okay, Frankie, we've had a lot of calls, and we're not joking here. When is Nude Moments 2 coming our way?
Well,
we've decided that the next one should be set in the Senate.
Well, you could do half an hour on Senator Mel Colson, didn't you?
Well, you
get this little nook and cranny.
You get to work, and thanks for talking to us today, Frankie.
Thanks, boys.
Okay, and we'd like to thank our other guests, of course, Jane Kennedy, all our gladiators and prize dicks. We'll be back tomorrow with Listen to This, Iwo Takamoto.
Yes, please.
He's the head brain, the creative director at Hanna-Barbera Studios. He's been punching out top flight cartoons for 30, 40, 50-odd years.
At least.
He's going to be with us on the program, the man behind Fred Flintstone, the Jetsons, and, of course, the perils of Penelope Pitstop. Squiddly Diddly.
Squiddly Diddly.
That was one of his.
Magilla Gorilla.
I'm sure he had a hand in Magilla. Okay, thanks to everybody once again, and thanks, of course, to Coca-Cola. And remember, people, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.